I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again.
Welcome. We are so glad that you have logged on for the evening service on this beautiful Easter day. We're actually recording this just a little bit ahead so that we make sure there's no glitches on Sunday. So I'm kind of hoping that it's a beautiful day on Easter Sunday. According to the weather, it's supposed to be. And at your house, I'm hoping you had a wonderful Easter day. Sandra Jo was talking to somebody who was telling me that they were going to have a huge family Easter dinner, but they were going to do it all by online. So they were going to use some system by which they set a camera up in every one of their children's houses, and they were going to do an Easter dinner at each house with all of them seeing it. Maybe Zoom or something like that, one of those business programs, but I thought that is pretty interesting. I'm sure Sandra Jo and I for Easter at lunchtime will probably FaceTime or Skype or something with the kids and our grandkids. We do that almost every day, it seems lately. We're reaching out and touching base with them, making sure they're okay. And I'm sure you're doing the same thing with your family. I have received a number of phone calls this week and last week of folks who are just missing the church, people who just want to pray with their pastor, folks who are going through some scary and difficult times. And we are absolutely available for you to reach out to have prayer with us. We want to minister to you. So thank you for logging on for this evening service. Let's open up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to John and Ashley. They're going to lead us in a few songs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I do pray that you be with us in this service, that in every way it would honor you. And I do lift up before you each and every one of these folks who are at home, or maybe they're on their job and they're logging on if they have that kind of a job. Lord, you know where each person is, what each situation is. And we're so thankful that you are a part of our lives in such a personal way that no matter where we are and no matter what's going on, you're there. And tonight, as we lift up you, as we sing praises and we pray, as we look into your holy word, I ask that it would be your Holy Spirit that works in every way. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so at this time, John and Ashley are going to come up. They're going to lead us in Christ Arose. Christ the Lord is risen, and his robes are mine. So right there at home, I'm hoping that you're singing out. And if you're not singing out, I hope that it's ministering to your heart and to your soul. This is by now Easter evening, and I'm confident your teenagers have been up for hours. So gather them in, get them in there. Let's all worship together tonight. Thank you very much, John and Ashley. I appreciate that. Have just a couple quick announcements. Want to again remind you this Easter Sunday that if you did not get a palm cross, then reach out to us and we will go ahead and send you one. We're happy for you to have one. We do have a number of them, and we have a number of the chocolate crosses left as well. So if you would like to have one, reach out to us, and we will make sure that we mail one to you. Or you can let us know and swing by and get it. All you have to do is when you get to the church parking lot, call us on your cell phone, and we'll bring it out to you because you can't come in the building because we have the essential employees' children down in the preschool, and so you can't just come in the building. But we are welcome to bring it out. And that actually, that's exactly the same way we're doing the food shelf. If you need some food from the food shelf, call us. Let us know. We're happy to go ahead and either read to you the list. We've done that. Or when you get here, you call us. We'll bring the list out of all the items we have in the food shelf. You just check out what you want. And we'll bring it out to your car after we put it in a bag for you. So we have that all set up in the fellowship hall. We definitely want to minister to you and your family. So please give us a call and let us know. Other than that, my announcement is that we love you. We miss you worshiping with us. I just got a phone call this afternoon, actually, from Jeannie Green. She called. She said, "Pastor, I am really missing our church, missing coming and worshiping and preaching and singing." And so we had a word of prayer over the phone. Don't hesitate to reach out. We certainly miss you. And we're looking forward to soon, hopefully soon, when everybody can come back and worship together. Because we're a church family. We miss one another. Don't be afraid to reach out. And we're definitely praying for you. I'm so grateful that Smokey and Suzanne, they asked for the list of all our church families, and they made over 150 phone calls. Now, they said a lot of them they had to leave a message because nobody answered, but they called all those numbers to just let the families know the church is thinking of them, praying for them. I'm so grateful for that. And if this goes very long, we may do it again, but we're for sure wanting you to know that we're thinking of you. So we're going to turn it right back over to John and Ashley, and they're going to lead us in "Crown Him with Many Crowns" and "Man of Sorrows."
Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee.
Thank you very much, John and Ashley. We appreciate that. And actually, we are getting ready to go right into our special for this evening. John and Hannah recorded at their house the song Hallelujah for the Cross. And so we appreciate them doing that. And John was going to go ahead and splice that into our evening service so that they could minister to you in song. We appreciate everybody who's doing their part to help our church services really minister to us in so many different ways. Some folks are just stopping by on the way home from their jobs, or if they're out grocery shopping, we have them come in so that they're not coming through the lower building, but they come up into this upper building here, and they just come in, do a practice with John, do their song. And if you would like to be a part in some way, let me know. I've had folks come and do raking here on the church property because they're by themselves. They're outdoors. Folks have come and worked on different things. I know the gardens. People are wondering about different things for them to do. If you're interested at all in coming and working on the garden, you're welcome to clean them out, rake them up, get them ready for planting. There's lots of different things. If you have a heart to do something for the Lord and you want to come by the church, we can line you out on something where you're not around anybody. It's kind of like going to a park or something. It's a pretty big piece of property, and a lot of it doesn't have anybody on it. So give me a call, let me know, and we'll talk about it. So I'm going to turn it over to John and Hannah as they're getting ready to sing Hallelujah for the Cross.
Up to the hill of Calvary, my Savior went courageously, and there he bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed, a final perfect lamb was slain. Let earth and heaven now proclaim Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought, Hallelujah for the cross. What could I've done, could never save, my debt too great for deeds to pay. But God, my Savior, made a way. Hallelujah for the cross. A slave to sin, my life was bound, but all my chains fell to the ground. When Jesus' blood came flowing down, Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought, Hallelujah for the cross. 3 days he lay there in the ground, defeating death and hell for all. Then rising up he lives again, Hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought, Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought, love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought, Hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive.
Thank you very much, John and Hannah. You did an excellent job, as always, and it's such a blessing. Now, I'm going to bring you this evening into the book of Colossians. So the title of our message this evening is Because We Live in Christ. So I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read to you just three verses. But we're going to look into these three verses, and I want you to see some very powerful truths about our risen Christ concerning us and our personal lives. So look with me here, Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to read to you verses 1 down through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's such a powerful text. I know it's only three verses long, but I want you to see that because he lives, we live. But the truths built within this verse are pretty weighty truths built upon the principle that if you save your life, you will lose it. But if you will lose your life, you will save it. That's a biblical principle that is taught to us in the scriptures. And the principle is that when we give our life over to Jesus Christ, when we're willing to lose our life to him, and we surrender to him, asking him to be our Savior, laying our sins at the foot of the cross, when we lose our life, we gain life. We gain eternal life, life in Christ. But those who try to save their lives, they keep it to themselves. They say to themselves, I'm my own man. I'm my own self-made person. I don't need God. I don't need anybody. I'll just keep my life for myself. God says you will lose your life because you will not have eternal life. By rejecting him and his salvation, then what you do is sure, you'll live your 70, 80, 90, maybe even as far as 100. But then you lose your life. You lose that eternal life in heaven with him. So when we approach this text, he says to us, he starts off in verse 1, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ. So what he is doing, that very opening phrase, is he's connecting with you and I that have received Christ. Because we are risen with Christ. Because he is alive, we are alive. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. In him, he brought life, life everlasting, paid for our sins with his shed blood, found victory over death, risen again, and because he lives, we live. So when you read that first phrase there, if ye then be risen with Christ, he is talking to us. We raise our hand and say, yes, I've been risen with Christ. I'm alive in Christ. I'm a Christian. So then as we proceed down through these verses, he talks to us about two things that I want to share with you. He talks to us about setting our vision, looking to those things that are above, and also our setting our affection on things above. Those two things. So listen as we go back to verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, and every one of us that have received Christ, we are alive in Christ. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So he starts for us a little bit of a prompt in our minds. It's kind of like in your computer when you're getting ready to do a search. Have you ever noticed that you've typed in maybe only the first couple words of your search, and then bam, the prompt finishes the question for you. Sometimes it almost is like it's thinking for you. Sometimes it's a little scary. Sandra, Joe, and I will be sitting around. We're talking. I'll say, I'll look that up. And I just started. It finishes it. It's like it was listening to me. It's scary, isn't it? Maybe it really is. I don't know. But here, this text sets a prompt in the greatest computer that has ever been made, our brain. So when he makes that statement to us, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And you and I, that prompt makes us think about Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. And it brings us to Romans chapter 8, verse 34. That verse says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for you and me, for us. So when we look at this text, he's prompting us to remember Romans chapter 8, verse 34. He's prompting us to remember that, yes, Christ died, but he is risen again. And even right now is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. That means that no matter where you are, what you're doing, what your situation during this time, Christ is talking to the Heavenly Father about you. Oh, and I know, you know, the doubters, they step back and they say, how can God think about everybody? Because he's God. He's not you and he's not me. He's not limited. He's unlimited. He has that ability to be everywhere at one time and to know everything that there is to be known, including everything about you and I. He is God. It's incredible. So when I pray and you pray, he hears both our prayers and he can focus on both of us at the same time because he's God. So the scripture teaches us that he intercedes for us. So your greatest fears, your greatest concerns, your greatest struggle, Jesus is interceding for you. He's talking to the Heavenly Father about such an amazing miracle when it comes to the Trinity, isn't it? Here, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in us, talking to one another about us, yet they are one. It's quite the mystery, isn't it? So when you look there, he tells us, he says that we should be seeking those things which are above, searching to know God, searching to know of God, searching to have a relationship with God in heaven above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. So when we think of Christ at the right hand of the Father, it prompts me to think about God the Father in heaven. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Let's look up into heaven and let's see God the Father there in heaven upon his throne. Look with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4. And I'm just going to read one text. There's many texts through the book of Revelation that talk about God in heaven, give us different visions and images of him in heaven. Listen to this one here in Revelation 4, verses 1 through 4. After this I looked, this is John the Beloved talking. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. I mean, we're looking into the very presence of God with John the Beloved as he writes this down. And John is so overtaken by the sight, he describes it by only the means he could. He starts describing it by the light refracting off of precious stones. He says, I look and I see God upon his throne. And round about him, 24 seats. And upon those seats, 24 elders. Many believe that is the 12 tribes of Israel represented and the 12 apostles represented. And the text goes down and talks about many other things that are in the presence of God. So the scriptures teach us here. When we go back to our text in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, It says, listen, if you are part of the family of God, if you're a child of God, if you're alive because Christ is alive, he says, seek ye those things which are above. Look to those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. And I hope this evening you are looking to heavenly things. I know that there's many fears and uncertainties in the world we're living in right now. Not just here, but around the world. That's why we have to look past what's here and look up there. That brings us to verse 2. Look with me, if you would, back to Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to listen to verse 2. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Such a truth here. So he talks to us about our affection, our love, our passion. He says, set your passion, your love, your affection on things that are above. Why? Because there's a great contrast between the things of this world and the things that are heavenly. I want you to go with me, if you would, in your New Testament, over to the book of James. Right after the book of Hebrews, you have the book of James. Look with me at James chapter 3, and I'm going to read to you verses 14 down through 18. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Listen. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So here we find a text that is giving us the contrasting perspective of earthly things compared to heavenly things. So he starts out there in this verse 15. He says, the wisdom that descendeth from above, but this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. He's saying, listen, these earthly things, these carnal things, the things of this world that are so contradictory to the things of God, he says these things are earthly, sensual, and devilish. In fact, in verse 16, he says, where envying and strife and confusion in every work are part of. So you and I, we look at this package, we look at this basket, and we say to ourselves, well, okay, here's the earthly and worldly basket, and it has earthly, sensual, devilish, it has envying, strife, confusion, and every evil work. There's that basket. Or let's look at the next couple of verses, and let's look at the basket over here. He says, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we have the two baskets to compare. Our life in Christ or our passion in the things of this world, the carnal things of this world. You and I who are living through this COVID-19 situation, you turn on the news, and I'm telling you, I don't know how you figure out what's truth and what's not. Sometimes I'll turn it on one news channel, I'll listen to it for about 15 minutes, then I'll turn it on to another news channel, and it's the same story, totally different. They're talking about exactly the same conference or the same meeting or the same presentation, and then you come over here and you turn this one up, they're talking about the exact same thing. They're even showing these people saying what they're saying, but they're putting a totally opposite end of a spin on it. So you watch these things and you think, what in the world? It's almost like one is the earthly and one is the heavenly. One's a lie and one's the truth. And which one is the lie and which one is the truth? God says to us, he says, listen, put your affection on heavenly things. Because the things of this world, I'm telling you, between the partiality, the envy, the strife, the conflict, he says, put your hope, your affection, your trust in heavenly things. He has our back. We know that he is with us. No matter what is going to come our way, he is there with us. It's kind of like our children and our grandchildren. He is our Heavenly Father, and he watches over us. No matter what happens in our life, we are going to scoop up our little boys and girls and take care of them, aren't we? No matter whether they've just scraped their knee, they broke their leg, or whatever it is, we're going to scoop them up and we're going to do the best we can for them. Well, that's like God for you. He says, put your affection on heavenly things, where he is and our Lord Jesus Christ is. All the carnal things of this world, they're going to abuse you and use you. But our Lord, he cares for us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we look at this text, it ties right into our text over in Colossians. Look with me in Colossians chapter 3. Look down with me in verse 3. Listen to what it says. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And you step back and you say, well, Pastor, wait a minute. I thought you said we're alive in Christ. That's how he started off in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if ye then be alive in Christ, what's this mean when he says in verse 3, for ye are dead? Well, that's because we are dead to the old man and alive in Jesus Christ. And he's referencing that. Just like that verse I just read to you out of Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. We are dead to the old man and new in our faith and walk in our salvation. So he tells us here in verse 3, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, really, our relationship with God is built upon deep promises from God. Look with me, if you would, over to Romans chapter 3. And this is the last verse I'm going to show you, because I know at your house, you're getting ready for dinner. Man, the potatoes are boiling. Hopefully the roast is not burning. But you're getting ready for your Easter supper. And I want to wrap it up real quick so that you can enjoy that together. So this is my last verse for you. Romans chapter 3. Look with me down at verse 35. Isn't that something? It is the wrong text. That's not good. So when I typed this up this afternoon, I typed in the wrong text. So the text I was going to give you is a text that talks about that you and I are secure in our Lord. He says that we cannot be separated by height nor depth nor anything. We can't be separated by any aspect of life. We rest in the promise of God that he is going to give us security in him. So we've died to the old man. We're alive in the new man in Christ. And we rest in his promises because our affection is upon Him, upon heavenly things, where we seek to know Him and to walk with Him and draw near to Him. Whatever your situation is at home, and I know that some of you, you're still waiting for your first unemployment check. You're still waiting for things to level out a little bit. You're still not knowing what's happening with your job. And I've preached it many times. If your whole life rests on your job, your money, all of those things, then it's a fearful world to live in. But when you're resting and trusting in the Lord, He will take you through this valley. He will take you through this time. We have to look to Him. Seek those heavenly things. Put our affection on those heavenly things. He has provided you with a church family that cares about you. Reach out to us. If you need some food, we've got the food shelf to help you out. If you need to pray, if you need some encouragement, reach out to us. I had a wonderful conversation with a lady the other day who called. And she just needed to talk. She just needed to pray. And we talked and we prayed. We're here for you. Your Lord is here for you. You're alive in Him. Don't let the world beat you down. Look up. Look and seek heavenly things. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before You and we thank You for Your many blessings to us. And while at this particular time, maybe if we're not careful, the blessings are overshadowed by our fears. And Lord, we have to go back. We've got to go back to the Scriptures and look where You've taught us in 2 Timothy 1:7 that You're not the one who gives us the spirit of fear. Lord, thank You. Thank You that You give us power, love, a sound mind. Help us to rest in You. We look to You, we seek You. Thank You for this Easter day where we celebrate You as the living God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.